The Lord said he will not give us any more than we can handle, right? And so I believe that no matter what our quote-unquote numbers are, it will be what we can disciple. And that is our hearts. And in a few minutes, I'm going to re-describe to you here what I described to them, and that is what our core vision is and our purpose here at Lapeer Assembly of God. But I also want to shout out a thank you to staff that's walked with me through this whole process. And I know when they signed up in the beginning as being a staff member, they didn't know what their role was always going to look like. And now they know that it's basically anything that I don't feel like doing. You know? Not true. I mean, they saw me over there doing everything that I had asked them to do. But I'm telling you, God has put together a really neat team. And with the help of those who God has blessed me with inside, we've been able to accomplish this thing in less than, what's it been, really, from the process we started. It's been about 10 months, probably, in all the things that have been done. And to those of you who were volunteers, wow, I can't even begin to describe to you what a blessing you were, and the appointment of your timing was just impeccable. We would have folks come from people that I knew were committed to Lapeer Assembly of God East that would come over there and just spend hours and hours doing small tasks and big tasks. And I'm not even going to begin to name anybody because I don't want to steal any blessings that they might have gained from all of that. But it's just been tremendous to watch. From designers to contractors and the way that the Lord put it all together. And a shout out to the Lapeer Community Schools. From the very beginning, they were a very clear blessing to us. And in some respects, the relationship happened almost immediately in terms of them just inviting us in. And the exact words from that administrator that I worked with is he looked at me and he said, "Dan, you guys are exactly what we want in that community." And he was saying, "We've watched," he said personally, he said, "I have watched you guys over the years." That's something. You got people, yes. Stand up so that everybody could hear what you're saying. That's the Lapeer Schools, yeah. Thank you. Unsolicited testimony right there of the things that the Lord's doing. In some of the community leaders, too. I mean, from the township office and, yes, even to the code authority. Thank you guys for your help. And I had mentioned to the church over there, I said, "You guys can feel safe in this building. If any of you feel like you're going to burst into flames, you know, it's okay. Because we have 12,000 gallons of water that will keep you put out." So, but again, I'm going to emphasize the gratitude that I have towards the Lord. It's just been so neat to watch. And for those of you who haven't been part of this process, Lapeer Assembly of God has gone through this type of thing three times now in the last 20 years, where we have sent people out. And God has honored that every single time in big ways. And I will remind you back to the Romeo experience. Some of you weren't even here when we did that. But we sent out 75 people and an associate pastor to Romeo. And just so that you know, in terms of the scope of things, financially, it was an $80,000 shift that was happening. And there was never a drop in ultimate attendance, and there was never a financial loss through the entire year. By the time we got to the end of the year, there was actually a financial increase. So again. And please, if you're fairly new to the church, I don't talk about finances a lot. I'm only using that as an illustration of just the way that the Lord has promised to meet the needs of those who will just follow after his ways. So, if you'll allow me just to be chilled here for a minute and just enjoy this moment with you as we kind of redefine who we are a little bit. Because now, you guys got a lot of work to do. You got some gaps and some spaces that need to be filled up. And not for the sake of having numbers. Because, again, do I want 600 people to walk through these doors? You know, in theory, I would tell you yes, but in reality, I would tell you no. Why is that? Because God specifically has not just called us to get people to the Lord with the idea of salvation, but our calling is discipleship as well. Yeah? And so we have to, he will not give us more than what we can handle. And so that's what's going to be beautiful about this whole experience, is you're going to progressively watch this increase that happens. But you know my heart is to see the increase of spiritual vitality and maturity to all of us. That is the journey I'm walking personally. But there's some who are here that you're fairly new to the church body. You're fairly new to Lapeer Assembly of God. And let me just kind of set a foundation for you so that you know who we are. And what everything that you see happening around this place, it all comes down to certain common denominators. The first one is about true salvation. True salvation. There is such a thing as a false gospel. Did you know that? A false gospel that gives people the sense that they in fact are right before the Lord, but in fact they are not. What do I mean by that? The Lord himself described the last times. He separated the sheep from the goats. He described what it would look like. And in the last days, he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And they will begin to give all the descriptions of what they did for the Lord. Talks about casting out demons, healing the sick. That sounds like powerful church stuff, doesn't it? The Lord's response to them was, depart from me, I never knew you. Okay, we've got to make sure that we get past that, folks. We got to make sure that we're a church that talks about the true gospel. We got to make sure that we're a church that talks about what this is really all about. And you know my heart in respect to that. I don't know if it showed on the video or not. But for those of you that don't know, there's an identical cross that looks just like this one that's over there at the West Building. So it's personal. It's got a testimony behind it, but I'll share that at another time. Born anew for real. Christ said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. That is why we are here. It is because the redeemed have to tell the others that it in fact is a new experience. That is the foundation of why Lapeer Assembly of God is here. It is for the Lord's name and His name alone. What I read an article several years ago about churches that are beginning to remove the cross from their building. And Sue and I have been very conscious about that thing as we have, whether we're on vacation and visit another church, we're always looking for a cross. And the article that I read to you had to do with a church that was taking its cross off the top of the building. In many respects, the statement was that the symbolism to the cross is no longer relevant to this new community. You already know that the church is dead in that application. So, if this preacher ever starts moving away from that, then you need to get rid of him. You ever hear one say that? That's how passionately I am about that issue. It is our foundation. The other thing is about settling issues, and this one I think we got to spend some time on. Settling the issues of yesterday. What do I mean by that? I mean it's time for us to find ourselves delivered by the working of the Holy Spirit and get rid of some of this old junk that's still hanging around in our spiritual closets. It's got to happen. There's a lot of people in the church today that are wounded for a variety of reasons, from family members, and I will never minimize how tragic some of your experiences have been. Some of them from the time you were little, people violating you and all the things that have happened. I am never going to minimize that. I'm not minimizing your trauma. What I'm doing is I'm maximizing the one who can heal it. I'm maximizing the one who can bring a complete work to your whole being, body, mind, soul, and spirit, and that is Jesus Christ. But I'm saying to you, the church is not going to be useful until we find ourselves delivered from this stuff. And we find our minds restored. We find our hope renewed. We find our lives given back to us. We find all those things that the Lord truly wants to do deeply within us. If you look over beside and there's somebody just drifting off, give them a nudge. Thank you. It's better that they nudge you than I do. Wounds, sin, things that paralyze us, they got to be gone. It's part of what we're doing here. It's part of what you see, the classes and all those things that are going on. It has to happen. And I want you to know the invitation in this new place that the Lord has brought to us as a church is I'm asking all of you to find that new fresh place that the Lord might have you. I'm going to assume that most of you are here today because God has called you to this body. Since I've never gave you a sales pitch and I've never offered you $100 for every time you show up, I'm assuming that the reason you're coming here is because you feel something in terms of that. And maybe some of you are still making that decision. But I'm saying we have a work to do, and you know me well enough as a pastor to know that I feel that my greatest role in your life is to mature and push you to a place of maturity that you become effective in ministry. That's what it's supposed to be about. So as that happens, the settling of all the issues of yesterday so that in fact you can deal in power with your tomorrows and your today. You can live in a hope today and you can live with a future in the way that the Lord wants to use you. The third thing that I just want to address real quick in terms of fundamentally who we are as a church is this sense of full discovery. A full discovery of who God has created you to be. I cannot leave that issue. In all the years that I have been in ministry, one of the common threads of what God has called me to is to get you to see that you have to be restored in the identity of how God has created you to be. It's real. It's real. I look at the last 30 years of my life and I imagine how much God has changed me and how different the direction is that He brought into my life. And I've seen it in yours as well. In the joining together of other lives and how God has orchestrated this magnificent thing. Restored identity, and the other part of it is the distinctiveness and the giftings that He has in you. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have our classes. That's why we have our cross-training classes, is to help us to accomplish all of those things. The last thing that I want to tell you in terms of describing the mission, and that's what I did over there, is I tried to solidify again for those who were new to the West Complex that we are looking for there to be an outflow of the presence of the Spirit of God within us, which is a transforming worship. And all the things that I've described to you up to this point and already is this. Everything we do has to glorify the Lord. Everything we do. It ultimately needs to lift His name higher. And if it doesn't, then we need to back off and reassess it. Because typically what happens in that place is we start getting hung up in religious traditions or religious things that end up ultimately choking the life right out of us. It's not fun to do that. So full of God that you invest your life and not spend it. Wouldn't you love to do that? How many of you really want your life to be invested and not just spent? It's only God that can do that. Let me tell you, you can do all the right things and still it just kind of floats down to nothing. When you have Jesus Christ actively involved in all of your activities, He does this multiplying work of miracles that follow. Signs and wonders will follow them that believe, is what the Scripture says to us. But you've got to believe. Let me tell you, all that we're doing at Liberia Assembly of God is not comfortable for me. It's not comfortable. Because there's so much that's happening this morning that is absolutely beyond my control. The Lord has me exactly where He wants me. I don't have to like it. I just have to walk it. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not standing in opposition of the Lord. I'm just saying, Lord, and I said that last night. I said, okay, I have done what I can do. Lord, if you don't show up, then what? Everything we do is in vain. Everything. So that's what it's about. And I know that most of you here realize that we have cross-training, our fellowship groups, and all those things that you need to be involved in. Because there's going to be people that are going to be coming here in the weeks, in the months to come, who need you. I'm going to be in Walmart, and people are going to come up to me and say, "Hi, Pastor Dan, I'm so-and-so. I attend your church." You do? Well, it's nice to meet you. We're at that place where it's agonizing to me. You ought to see us in staff meeting. Well, I met so-and-so, and her and her husband, and the other one says, is that the one that had the blue dress on? No, that's the one that had the red dress. And by the time we're done with that discussion, I'm like, oh! I used to pride myself in the fact that I knew the names of 98-99% of our congregation. Whoops! Now I forget the name of my own children. It takes me a little bit of time to figure out which one they are. And I will say, don't you lie to me. I'll find out who you are because you live here. Right? So, I'm saying all this to say to you all, I need your help. I need your help to fulfill the vision that God has for us as a body of people. And I'm just taking this service one moment at a time and see how the Lord would direct it. But there's something very, in my opinion, very important that's happening this week. And we've emphasized it before, but it's the National Day of Prayers happening on Thursday of this week. And I feel so deeply involved in my spirit that this needs to be something that we as a church embrace. For the simple reason that I don't have to spend a lot of time describing to you what's happening in our nation, do I? And the last thing the church needs to do is stick our head in the sand. Because I realize one of the things we want to do is, you know, we build our nice homes, we build our fences, and we just build our little kingdom, and we just keep ourselves kind of locked in there because we'll keep the world out, we can manage things from within. I'm telling you that that's not what the God has called the church to. He's called for you and I to be strong in the Spirit and for us to get out there and make a difference in every phase of life, every place that we've been called to. And I know this terminology and phraseology has been used a lot, but for me to say to you, you all are missionaries. I know we hear that all the time, but you know it's true in the greatest sense. The Bible says that God does not dwell in buildings made by human hands. Where does he dwell then? Temples of flesh. The church, God's people, are the only source of Jesus Christ that this world will have. You get that? Christ in you. And the way that I preach to this church is, if you have Christ in you, you better expect the room to change when you show up. And it's not because of you, it's because of him in you that makes the difference. Let me tell you, you go back into the scriptures, you will never find a place where Jesus Christ showed up that something didn't happen. And I'm telling you, things were happening before he even opened his mouth. And most of the time, it was in the demonic realm that darkness was pressed back just because the Lord showed up. And then, what's tragic to darkness is every once in a while he opened his mouth. And then big things happen when the Lord begins to speak. Is that not the truth? So this coming Thursday, May 1st, at 6 p.m., down at the court building, churches of this community in Lapeer County are going to meet together. It's churches coming together. It's some of our officials. We have often judges and lawyers, and we have people from the police force and from the community that are part of this little structured service. And what I'm going to do differently, and I did this over there at West, is I'm going to ask you to commit to going there. Jeremy Lazell from Calvary Bible is the one who's heading it up this year, and I want to show absolute support from this body to them. And I want to be able to give him an idea of what kind of numbers are going to be showing up from Lapeer Assembly of God. So we did a count over there, and I'm asking you, if in fact you can meet with us at 6 o'clock downtown this coming Thursday, I want you to just stand up where you're at. And Sue's going to get just a general head count. This is 6 o'clock. If you think you don't get into town till quarter after, it's okay. What I'm telling people is I don't care if you just drive into town, park your car, and just walk. Just begin to pray immediately. What my hope is that the churches will continue to unify in spirit, not in location. You know, often churches want to do activities together. And I say a lot of times to some of the pastors in this community, why would we want the enemy to know that we're all gathering in one spot? Right now, we're a mystery. You can be seated. Did you get most of that? So my guess is from at least our body, we're going to have well over probably 100 people represented in that setting. So come out and be there with us to just enjoy what the Lord is going to do. All right. Quickly, I'm just going to share a little bit of the word and challenge you in this idea. Can we truly be unified? Is there such a thing? How many of you believe it? I see it happening in beautiful small pockets. I see marriages where it's happening. I see friendships where it's happening. Where the things of life can't separate that. It's just a love one to another that just seems to gel together. I see families that there's some dynamics of family structure that far exceed anything else. Yes, the enemy's been very good at what he's done in terms of creating multiple levels of division. Yeah. But the Spirit of God, he always wants to create something that the world cannot produce. And so much so that Jesus Christ said that there is a way that the church can show the world that Jesus came from heaven to earth. Does anybody know what that is? By the way that we show love one to another. It's talking about hearts that are unified. Love is not an action per se. It is an act of our will that allows us to surrender ourselves on another's behalf for their betterment, for sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's enough for you to understand what love is. Right there. And so, how many of you are familiar with 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Wouldn't you love for the fact that we could put up a prayer before God and God says, yes, I see and yes, I hear what my people are asking of me. And so how many of us want to see the restoration of this nation? How many of us want to see it come to a place again where we have a sovereign God that has the potential of hearts that are surrendered unto him? Jesus, his heart, before he went to the cross, he said, may they be brought to complete unity. That was his prayer. So, we also can tell by the activity of the enemy that he stands in direct opposition of all that the Lord wants to accomplish. And so his bent is division at every level. Separation, conflict, relationships that stand where one will not forgive the other for any reason because of violation. He wants to plant those kind of seeds. And let me tell you some of the things that need to be restored to us, the first being that sense of honor towards God. Let's move to that place, folks. Let's go back to that place where we honor him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's come back to that place. Let's come back to that place where our prayers really go up before a God who is holy and just. Don't just throw these empty prayers out anymore. Don't do that. Pause. Whether it's before a meal or before bedtime or whatever, pause. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure you engage with him and honor God before you pray. Honor him with all of your heart and life before you open up your mouth. If that spirit of honor and reverence is not there, then you're just going to be throwing up religious words that aren't going to have impact. And they will feel like they hit the ceiling and fall down. We have a nation that we live in has absolutely refused at many levels to honor God anymore. Like I stated it earlier, remember when it was so free to just say one nation under God. Just to say the one nation is a whole foreign thing. But to say a nation that is under God, under him. We submit ourselves honorably to you, Lord. To humble ourselves before God in order to experience more grace and more intimacy in his presence. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way into the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Humility, humility. What an interesting word that is. We have absorbed it into thinking that humility is some doormat thing, that Christians are weak people because they humble themselves in love. Humility is not weakness at all. Jesus being the model of humility, but the most powerful person that ever walked planet Earth. He didn't have anything that he needed to prove because he was the great I am. He invites us to a place of humility that has cause and effect. Psalms 25. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. He guides and he teaches those who humble themselves before him. Psalms 149. He crowns the humble with salvation. It's a sign upon our heads. Psalms 147. The Lord sustains the humble. Sustaining presence because we humble ourselves before God. Another word that I'm using in this context is the idea of mourning. You thought about that? There is a part of Christianity where if you serve the Lord strongly, you will feel a deep sense of grief. What is that grief? Here, listen to me. Listen to me. I am not talking about a mourning that has no hope behind it. I'm talking about a sense of loss that we feel in the middle of this tremendous hope that we have in Jesus Christ. What, again, am I saying? What is it we have to mourn over? The same reason that I believe Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He was not mourning for him. But I believe that our Lord was looking at his people. And what it grieved his heart is that I can almost hear the echo of his heart saying, "This is not what I've created you for." Because what they were doing were they were grieving over the loss of their brother. You see? There is a sense of grief that overtakes our hearts. How many of you find yourself filled with grief at the loss? Maybe you have a child that's not serving the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? You can feel the weight of that. Maybe you've got a friend or a neighbor or somebody that you see. You see the impact of sin upon their lives. What is it? You don't rejoice in that, do you? No, you grieve, you mourn. And what does Jesus do? He gives us this amazing hope. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's a real deal. It's all part of us being, believe it or not, it's part of us being unified in spirit and in heart for us to live these things out. Just quickly, I'm saying to you, we've got to seek his grace. We have to seek God's grace. What is God's grace? What is his grace? I want to take it a step farther for you and say it's not, yes, it's God's unmerited favor. Okay, yes, it is. But I'm telling you, God's grace is an empowerment to do everything that he has created us to do. If God has called Dan Berger to pastor this church and to open up another congregation, and I know that it's his will for my life, I feel weak about that. I feel fearful about that. But if I walk it out in faith, that is the very place that his power will meet me. You get that? That's the way grace works. Because guess who gets the glory when all the beautiful things start to happen in these two congregations? It's the one who brought the power and the strength and the vision and the know-how and the people and the support and the finances. We will rejoice in him. That's the power of grace. Let me tell you, many of us in this place, you are so used to doing everything yourself with your own control that you don't know what the power of God feels like. I want you to absorb that. Some of you, your whole lives have been calculated. I'm not asking you to do something stupid. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith in what I have done is not based on some idea that I came up with. It's an obedience to something that I've heard from the Lord, either from His Word or by His Spirit, and you do it. Not because it feels good or because it feels right necessarily, but because you know the Lord has spoken it. When is the last time you've had your life in that place where you had to do something by faith? Not by stupidity, but by faith. Let me tell you what happens. God makes worshipers in that place. That's what happens. You will stand in absolute awe and celebrate the things that God has done through your weakness. It's an amazing place. It's an amazing place to be. In a lot of those things, just so that you know, I'm not talking about grandiose. I'm not talking about these open displays. I'm not talking about you renting the Palace of Auburn Hills and preparing a sermon and thousands come. Yeah, he might put a Billy Graham kind of anointing on your life, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people living life. I'm talking about moms living the power of faith through parenting and men going out and women going out and working in a workplace in the power of faith. It's got all the dynamics of our lives. But let me tell you, there's no such thing as a consecrated, holy thing that you do for God and then this other secular side of your life. If your life is divided in that form, then you probably already know that you're not living in faith. Seek Him. You got to seek Him. You have to seek the Lord. You have to seek the Lord. This is not the place. Yes, I can motivate you, and yes, we can feel good about coming together, but unless you find yourself in the secret place figuring out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you're going to not find all these things that I'm talking to you about. The beautiful thing about God, the beautiful thing about Jesus, the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is this. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Don't you ever forget this part. God is not elusive. He's not playing hide and seek with you. He's not. I want so much to gain revelation in wisdom and insight into God's will for my life. It's a journey. True story. There's times when this man is totally confused about what I'm supposed to do. I don't want you to think that I have some market tied up on this deal. I have to fight it out in the secret place just like you do. And you might look at me and say it comes easy. That's because you're not with me in the secret place when I'm fighting with myself. When myself wants to say, did he really say? When myself wants to say, where are you? Am I the only one that goes through this? I didn't think so. Well, let me tell you, you can make it through. Why? Because He is faithful. He is faithful. And you move to Him, He will move to you. You go searching after Him, He will reveal Himself to you. I promise you that. But He will not allow you to serve multiple gods. He will not be one of many. He will not. And many of us, probably at times all of us, have tried it. Doesn't work. He is a jealous God. The last thing I'm saying to you as the worship team comes back up is we need the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on all of us. The church needs a deep sense of revival as He does a sovereign thing. A sovereign thing. We have a video clip, I think. We have a short video clip that what I call is a passionate prayer. And the title of it is actually, Hear the Passion. And it's somebody who literally in a church service was praying before worship time. And when I heard it for the first time this past week, I said, God, please let that be who we are. A people that, in the culmination that everything that I said to you this morning focuses in on a people finding their hearts unified to the glory of the King. Let's listen to these words and see if it shouldn't be the cry of the church.
Lord, we stand here as a desperate people, hungry for the things of You. Come quiet the storms that rage all around us so that we hear the passion that beats through Your heart. Spirit, put healing in our hands, put life in our words, and drive a passion for the lost deep in the hearts of Your people. Inhabit the praises of us, Your children. And Father, send us out with a reckless passion. Deliver us from evil and set a standard of unity to break down walls and to heal Your people. Unity is the cry of Your church, Lord. Reconcile the children to the fathers, and with forgiveness and mercy, rush through the hearts of our land. We cry out our deep need for You, Jesus. Oh God, come in power and bring glory to Your name.
And bring glory to Your name. Would you stand with us and let's worship the Lord.